This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 13th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at a state board, the Illinois Health Facilities Planning Board, whose job it is to approve or turn down, in many cases, healthcare facilities in the state. We'll also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, today's news. An obscure rulesmaking committee of 12 Illinois lawmakers will meet in Chicago to determine whether an order by Governor Rod Blagojevich to expand who's eligible for state-subsidized health insurance will stand. Last week, the Blagojevich administration filed an emergency order that would allow 147,000 parents and other caretakers to buy discounted insurance through the state's family care program. The rule will last no more than 5 months unless the change is approved by the 12 lawmakers who are meeting today. The rule can be suspended if 8 members vote against it. Democratic Representative David Miller of Dalton says the governor's move represents a major addition of people to the health care rolls without legislative scrutiny. The Champaign School Board has voted unanimously to endorse an increase in the Unit 4 property tax levy. And as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, board members backed an explanation blaming the state's method of funding schools for the rise.
Finance Director Gene Locus says the nearly 17% hike proposed for the tax levy is a precautionary maximum, and that once the new property assessments are known, he expects the actual levy to go up just under 6%. Tax caps would cause the actual tax rate to go down following a decade-long trend, but rising assessments would send the average tax bill up. Those tax bills have to go up, argues Locus. He says Illinois is relying too much on local property taxes to fund education.
Rather than criticizing the school district, why not take a look at the real problem? Inadequate state funding, which may make you feel good today, but we all know carries an enormous price tag with it for the future.
School Board President Dave Tomlinson says he'll be making the same argument tonight in Rantoul at a State Board of Education budget hearing. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A new program for some of the Champaign School District's most troubled high school students won the endorsement of board members last night. The Hope Academy did not need formal approval from the board because it doesn't need any extra funding from the school district. Instead, it would use existing staff and grant money to build a special program for students with disciplinary programs at the Columbia Center. Hope Academy would help students who are at least 40% behind on credits needed for graduation. Assistant Superintendent Michael McFarland says he wants to give new hope to those students through intensive instruction and practical work experience through internships at local businesses and agencies.
And so what I really am hopeful about with this academy is that we can create a plan for these students and show them very clearly how if you attend every day, you do what we ask you to do, then you can get back on track. And that we can get you a job, help you get a job, make sure that you attend and have the things that you need while you're at the job working, and then hopefully get you on track to be successful.
McFarland says they have 13 students signed up for the Hope Academy. Meanwhile, the school board tabled another alternative school plan. That $175,000 pilot project would have helped high school students who have trouble in regular classroom settings but have not posed serious discipline problems. The chairman of a bipartisan commission studying Indiana's property tax woes plans to make significant recommendations during a commission meeting today. State Senator Luke Kenley says the suggestions could lead to homeowners' property tax bills being cut in half. He says many of the recommendations he'll make to the State Tax and Financing Policy Commission are based on a plan Governor Mitch Daniels proposed earlier this month. While Daniels has said his plan would help cut the average Hoosier homeowner's tax bill by more than a third, Kenley says his proposal would make even deeper cuts. Today's meeting of the 5-member tax commission caps a series of discussions that have focused on Indiana's property tax system. The rising cost of vegetable oil is putting pressure on the food industry. That's according to Daryl Good, an economics professor at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Good says the high demand for biofuels like ethanol is boosting the price of corn and soybeans.
That's going to have repercussions, I think, through the food industry, and some of those costs will have to be passed on to consumers if they're to stay viable.
One Illinois company burdened by higher prices is Chicago-based Jay's Foods. A spokesman for the potato chip maker says high corn prices have definitely had an impact. Jay's announced it might lay off 500 employees as early as this December. A virus that can be fatal to deer has shown up in nearly 50 Illinois counties. Sean Crawford has more.
The affected deer have been found mostly in western and southern Illinois. The virus, known as EHD, causes the animal to hemorrhage internally. It's spread by gnats. Paul Shelton with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources says the disease need not be a concern for deer hunters this fall.
Humans are not susceptible to EHD. I guess our recommendation tends to be that if an animal looks clearly to be sick, then regardless of what's causing it to be sick, our recommendation would be not to consume it.
Illinois has had other EHD outbreaks through the years, although Shelton says this appears to be among the most severe. However, he adds it likely won't have a major impact on the statewide deer population. The disease causes the animal to run a high fever and become extremely thirsty. Most of the dead deer have been found near water. I'm Sean Crawford.
The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library wants the public's help to put together an exhibit marking the 100th anniversary of the Springfield race riot. Rick Beard is the museum's executive director. He says officials are looking for items including photographs and letters that belong to victims or material from damaged or destroyed buildings. The riot began on August 14, 1908, after news that two black men being held at the Sangamon County Jail had been moved. A mob raged for 2 days, killing at least 7 people and destroying many black-owned businesses and homes. Just 2 people were punished by the law. Beard says interested donors should call the museum. He says the materials will be in use from the spring of 2008 until early 2009. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. 6 proposals for new health care facilities have been laid out in East Central Illinois in the past year, and a state board has turned down 5. The 6th has yet to be heard. Anyone who wants to build a hospital, dialysis facility, nursing home, or outpatient surgery center has to get permission from the State Health Facilities Planning Board through what's known as a Certificate of Need. The process is generating controversy elsewhere, though many here in Illinois still want to see it work. Dr. James Leonard heads the Carle Foundation in Urbana. In the last year alone, he's watched the Illinois Health Facilities Planning Board strike down 2 of Carle's proposals, a surgical center on Champaign's northwest side and a large clinic between Mattoon and Charleston. So you'd think that James Leonard would have something against the state board, but he says he doesn't.
In spite of our recent difficulties, I'm pleased with how they've conducted themselves and have told people that.
It's the Health Facilities Planning Board's policy to approve newer expanded services only as long as they don't create overcapacity. In other words, there's got to be enough potential referrals in a given area to support both the new facility and existing ones. Otherwise, says Board Executive Director Jeffrey Mark, costs go up.
What the board is charged with by statute is to administer a program aimed at containing costs through the discouragement of unnecessary capital expenditures, especially duplication of services and facilities.
Beyond that, many not-for-profit hospitals use more lucrative services like cardiac care or orthopedics to help compensate for the charity care they give out. Those services are favorite targets for specialty clinics. State Senator Dale Ryder is from Mattoon, where Carle lost its bid to build its facility a short distance from the long-standing hospital there, Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center.
Have a situation where a nonprofit's ability to generate monies and then plow that money back into the community pursuant to its charitable mission, and that's going to be threatened by a for-profit facility, well, I think that's something we have to talk about.
Protecting hospitals from new competition is not a concept shared by all. Some states, including Indiana, have done away with the certificate of need process altogether to inject more free market competition into healthcare. Some even say certificates of need amount to collusion with hospitals to fend off competition, and not-for-profit hospitals don't need the protection. Dr. Thomas Plura of Leroy has had applications for surgery centers in Champaign-Urbana turned down.
Certainly, monopoly status is not something that I think in society the people benefit from, meaning if somebody can build a better mousetrap and provide health care at the same or better quality for less price, then I think they should be able to do that freely.
But Senator Dale Ryder, who's a Republican, says health care is not a purely free market playing field.
Competition in the health care industry is not the same as competition in, let's say, the screwdriver industry. Government subsidies and government regulations are so heavily embedded into the healthcare arena, not just in Illinois, but all across the United States. And the more government involvement is, the less the pure formula of competition works.
Jim Duffett, who heads the Campaign for Better Healthcare, says regulation protects communities and lower-income patients from a health field that's too corporate.
And I think part of the question that comes into play is what happens when a community goes from three hospitals to two hospitals or from two hospitals to one hospital? Is that a benefit for the whole community?
Even the Trade Group for Ambulatory Surgery Centers in Illinois supports the Certificate of Need process in the state. That bucks the view of trade groups in other states. And Carl's James Leonard, who's had facilities both approved and rejected, says competition would be a two-edged sword, especially for less populated areas that become overserved.
Then you start begin to have quality issues, or everybody's limping along rather than one or two strong facilities that can bring in new technologies and give more back to the community. Everything becomes involved in just survival.
The Health Facilities Planning Board itself has been no stranger to controversy and even corruption. A former member pleaded guilty to using his board seat to win kickbacks from a hospital. And Senator Ryder claims the governor and attorney general are dragging their feet in appointing members to a task force that'll explore possible changes to the Health Facilities Board or to determine whether it should even exist. Well, the northern two-thirds of Illinois and Indiana will experience a really nice day today, mostly sunny. In the south, though, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Meteorologist Ed Kieser says our highs will range from around 60 in the far north to 68 in far south. Champaign-Urbana's high 64. For tonight, in the north and in central Illinois, mostly clear in the evening, then increasing clouds overnight. In central Indiana, increasing clouds with scattered showers arriving toward daybreak. And in the south, still mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lows from 40 in far northwest Illinois to 56 far south, 47 in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow, in the north and in central Illinois, cloudy again with a chance of a few scattered sprinkles. In central Indiana and the south, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs from around 50 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to 68 in the south, 58 degrees in Champaign-Urbana. Looking ahead for Thursday in Champaign-Urbana, mostly sunny, breezy, and cool with a high of only 47 degrees, sunny and 50 for Friday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 13th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.